Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Welcome to Big Blend Radio's vacation station travel show, or I should say it's Eat, Drink, and Be Merry. You know what? It is about food and travel, and it's all about Portland, Maine. And that is where the Fire Monkey recently visited. Well, she did a whole stint in Maine, basically. Fire Monkey is travel writer Debbie Stone. We call her Fire Monkey because she got that name when she was in Bhutan. And it just has stuck. And she's been swinging around the country, basically, over the last couple of years. And normally she's traveling the world, but she finally got to Maine to do a whole bunch of areas that she hadn't been to. And one of them is Portland. So, Debbie, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I am fine. Thanks so much for having me. How are you, ladies? Good?
We're doing good. We're doing good. This is exciting because, you know, when we think about Maine, was this like new? Because I know you did Camden, you've done Portland, you went to Acadia. Is it Booth Harbor Bay? Booth Bay Harbor? I'm going to get it wrong no matter what. You went all over Maine. I feel like you did the whole state.
I've done a lot of it because prior to that, I did a schooner trip in Rockland and also hit Camden. And, you know, have been a couple places inland as well. But we really wanted to kind of do that whole coastal route, which starts in Portland, which is the southernmost, city down there. And it's their big city in Maine. And I had been to Portland, it had been years ago. And Portland's just now, it's gotten very, I think, very hip in terms of its food scene and its craft beer scene, and just in terms of what it offers to visitors. I think it's seeing a lot more visitor traffic. I think people are also, I think, very enamored and charmed with Maine as a state and New England as a whole. You know, just all the wonderful quintessential iconic symbols of New England, whether it's covered bridges or lighthouses on the coast, you know, and the food, you know, the lobster and the seafood and all that. So, you know, but we thought it'd be wonderful to, you know, do a nice road trip and just kind of, you know, go up the coast. And so that's where we started, was in Portland.
And it seems like, you know, this was a culinary adventure, even though you have lighthouses in there. But the lighthouses were, you know, instrumental to get actual food onto the mainland, right? You had to have them.
Well, yeah, otherwise the boats wouldn't have been able to make it.
Exactly. So, you know, but this
people have a thing about lighthouses.
People really
do have a thing about lighthouses.
I do have a thing about them too.
I know.
I want to stay in one. I know that you can. And I think, Debbie, we've talked about this before about like staying in them.
Yeah.
We'd all want to do this, you know, whether it's Oregon. I know, Debbie, I have a weird thing about you and Oregon and Maine.
Hello.
Not weird thing. I mean, it's like, it seems to me that you are drawn to these opposite parts of the country, but they're like, you want the rocky beaches with the drama and the lighthouses and the
food. Yeah,
that seems to be what's going on. And the nature, of course.
And I like that. You know, there's a kind of a wild feeling to the coastal areas of Oregon and Maine versus if you would go down to Southern California, which I don't consider a wild coastline, you know. And so I've always been attracted to that. And, you know, lighthouses are just kind of very romantic and just there's a lot of stories and a lot of history with lighthouses, and some are haunted, and you know, you can stay in sometimes the keeper's houses. And I remember looking into it after we had our last conversation about it, and there was like this one in Oregon where you could stay like in the keeper's house, and it was kind of made into kind of an inn where that you could stay at, but it was like, you know, booked for a long time. And then I looked into what about if you wanted to do a stint as a lighthouse keeper, you know, kind of thing. And those are like booked, you know, you could volunteer, but they're like booked, you know, quite a bit in advance because it is, I didn't realize how popular it is. You know?
Yeah.
It's interesting, you know, and I think the first time that, well, for me, I won't talk for Lisa, but for me where we started thinking about the seriousness of a lighthouse was when we stayed at Farmer Bob's, and he was talking about, he has this like tower he built to look out for.
It was a watchtower in World War II.
Talking about World War II and how important it was for them to be vigilant about what was happening in the country, because and by sea and by air and by land. And you know, for us who weren't there at that time, it's history, but he made it live, and he still had the watchtower. We got to go up there, and you start him as you go up in the watchtower, as you go up in a lighthouse, you start imagining what it must be like and what. It's so cool.
Well, and also it's lighthouses now have been changed over to, I was watching Point Reyes National Seashore having its anniversary for its lighthouse. And they were talking about how lighthouses have been changed over to digital technology and where are we now with this. And it's, these are these icons, and it's kind of like the Pony Express Trail versus telegraphs and fax machines and now email. You know, it's kind of this whole part of like, this is part of how we communicated. But I think it's just weird to think, you know, even airports, we have watchtowers, you know, a lighthouse, a watchtower, whether it's in an orange grove like at Farmer Bob's in Visalia, or it's a lighthouse on the coast. But there's this imagination. Debbie, as a kid, did you read like books where there was like shipwrecks and mystery and mayhem? You know what I mean? Did you have that?
Yeah, of course. I was, and my mom was a huge, you know, she loved history. And so, you know, whether my brothers and I wanted to or not, we were, you know, we were definitely made aware of a lot of, you know, historical events and places. And actually, you know, sometimes at the time you might not appreciate it, but believe me, you know, later on you're like, wow, I'm so glad that I was exposed to all that and, you know, really, really got to not only, you know, read about it, but to actually visit it and see it. And, you know, so definitely, most definitely I was exposed to that. And I also, you know, moved, there's so many movies that are out that are also, you know, there's lighthouses in them that play pivotal points, and there's books that, you know, are really interesting in terms of the way that the lighthouse has a role in the story, you know. So yeah, definitely, most definitely.
Yeah, it when you go in them, it, I almost feel like an inner child coming out, and I don't think an innkeeper feels that way, but as a visitor to a lighthouse now, you know, an innkeeper, a lighthouse keeper, I should say. I'm still in bed and breakfast land, but I know there's bed and breakfast that are part of that. But a lighthouse keeper, you know, the work and going up all those stairs, and I mean, the work and the solitude and all of that is just so amazing. But as a kid, and even as an adult visiting, that whole mysticism, you know, it's romantic in a way.
It's like, oh, it's true. Like what your teachers taught you. Oh, it's true.
Because that's a good point, Nancy.
Yeah, because when the teachers say it, you go, yeah, because you're just sitting listening to teachers all day long, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, depending on how good or not good the teacher is how your interest is, which is different for everybody. I'm so going to get in trouble for this. But so you sit and you listen in class, and you're like, yeah. And you're like, oh, that's interesting. And then and you wonder, as a kid, at least I did, is that really true, or are you just talking?
You
know?
Oh, absolutely. Filling space. And when you actually have the opportunity to visit a lighthouse or whatever it is that you've been talking about, you're like, wow,
Wow.
This is they were right, or, you know, whatever
yeah.
it is. But I think it just, it proves that point that we say over and over again, just how much, you know, seeing something, you know, really seeing how something actually is in existence, or like history, if you visit, you know, a fort or whatever it is, or a castle, whatever, it just, you know, it just brings it all home again. And you're like, wow, you know?
And they lived out there on that, you know, here, I'm going to do this. And then you're living off the land. You get your supplies once a year. Like, seriously, do you know how much wine they would have to truck in if it was us, Nancy? They would have to have a whole lorry, like a Walmart truck, come in. There's not Amazon enough Prime food. Is not coming for that. I mean, it would be, and I mean, oh, it'd be, funny. That would, well,
we need a second lighthouse wine.
But here's the thing. You're looking at, you can fish, right? And you're right. also looking at rocky waters. And I've got to go right into lobster. Did I say it right?
Lobster. Yes, lobster. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And if you go to Maine, yeah, if you go to Maine, that's, you know, pretty much you will get that lingo down pretty quickly, especially if you happen to go out on a fishing boat, which is what I did. Took a trip with Lucky Catch, which was definitely a highlight during my stay there in Portland. But
Fire Monkey got lucky.
You know, it was a trawler that was absolutely.
She went trawling and got
lucky. Oh, Fire Monkey went trawling.
I went trawling. That's right. I'm the Lucky Catch. And it's great because if you know nothing about lobster other than the fact that it's expensive when you order it in a restaurant or whatever it is, you know, you get this real kind of up close personal experience where not only do you get to, you know, do the baiting of the trap, see how it's brought up, see how they're measured, see which ones get to be kept and which ones, you know, you have to toss back in, you know, just, and looking at a lobster and seeing different parts of the lobster's body up close. It just, you know, and then hearing that, you know, in Maine particularly, lobster is huge in terms of business. You know, they say there's about 7,000 licensed people, lobster men, lobster women, and that they take in about 100 million pounds on average a year of lobster. So it's big stuff there.
They're working hard.
You know, so even if lobster is not something you like to eat, if it's not your thing, the tour is fascinating because this is an important part of Maine and Maine's history and, you know, Maine's economy. And so to me, it just is an eye opener if you have not been exposed to that, you know, type of scene before. And it was great. It was really great.
I know Nancy and I are allergic. We're allergic to seafood, but I would go to learn because to understand, because it's understanding the way of life and what people are eating and doing. And I think what's so important, you say 7,000, I know Maine's a small state. It's a big business. However, you've got to think 7,000 lobster men and women, as you said in your article too. And everyone, you can go on blendradioandtv.com and read Debbie's article now. Just type in Portland, Maine, and you'll find it. You know, what was interesting about this, you've got to think that's actually not that many. It sounds like a lot, but it is.
No,
but this is about small family businesses, right? This is not like the giant corporation coming in and swooping in and sucking up all the lobster, the lobster out of there. No, but this is so important. I'm into this. I'm into what is going on with our seafood and our fish. It's the same thing about what's happening, you know, in our food, you know, our vegetables and fruit, you know, sustainability. And that's what's so important about licensing and this kind of like going on these tours for people to understand so that it's not taken for granted either, because things are changing in our world. So we need to understand. You know, how many times do you hear about kids not understanding where an apple comes from? They think it comes from the grocery shelf.
When
it rains, it's being watered and growing that way. No, when it rains in the grocery store, that's called wetting the fruit down, and it's not good.
So you go on that side. It's interesting because you go look up that side, and I read Debbie's article
And then I'm like, oh,
you got Nancy all riled up. And
I know about the lobster. Not riled, so, but, yeah. No, I know. I'm like, oh, yeah, let's go check out lobsters. So I go and research lobsters. And so I learned they can grow up to 4 feet long. So
they're huge.
I've never seen
huge.
A 4 foot long lobster served.
Lobster, in a restaurant. Nancy, it's lobster.
Lobster. And they can weigh up to 40 pounds. Right. So
yeah,
Debbie,
they can get very, very big. That's more of the, you know, anomaly, so to speak, but
went and you ordered a lobster and somebody came out with like this 4 foot lobster and you're going to eat it. And then they can live up to 100 years old.
Right.
Think of that.
Yep.
Well, yep. Nancy also told me that they were different color. But when you were on the Lucky Catch, is there a difference between the color of when they're caught and then what goes on your plate?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you're boiling them.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So they're going to turn color.
They're not red.
They're going to turn red. Well,
that's interesting.
When you get them, they're speckled, kind of that orange and black, speckled. And then, you know, that's what they would look like. And then, you know, of course, you know, later on when they come to your plate, it's a different story. So
I did not know all that.
It's a very interesting,
interesting
educational process. I also, for people who don't know, I mean, we think of as lobster as, you know, it's expensive and it's kind of a special kind of thing for people. But, you know, years ago, it was not very popular. In fact, it was compost for gardens. Hogs ate it, and prisoners and domestic staff. And I even put in there, because this is what they told me, that some job contracts at the time said that, you know, the employed help, couldn't be fed lobster more than twice a week. And it was like, that was in their contracts. And I'm thinking, you know, for a lot of people today, it's like, what, lobster twice a week? Are you kidding me? Whoa, you know?
I know. That is so bizarre.
I love this. You have a photo of a guy standing up, a plate of the bright, you know, red, orangey lobster and corn. And he's got the bib on. And this is happy man. I mean, the corn. Okay, so I want to ask you, since you eat this, does the corn do the, what's the flavor texture thing going on for you eating two?
You know, when you did, I think if you do like a really old-fashioned lobster boil, you know, you're going to put in, you know, or a seafood boil, for example, you're going to put in all different kinds of seafood, you're going to put in corn, and you're going to put in potatoes. So
in the same place, in the same pot.
Yeah, okay. In the same pot. And that's what's going to be, you know, a seafood boil. I had them down like in Louisiana and down, you know, I mean, at the seacoast area.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's kind of just something that goes. So if you're going to get a lobster dinner, it's typically going to be served, you know, with corn and potatoes of some kind. That's typical, you know, a traditional kind of thing, at least what I saw in the restaurants that I went to, you know, that they, that's what they were serving. But and what is interesting is that, you know, when you're in Maine, you know, you will find lobster probably on every menu, and there are lobster shacks everywhere. You know, when you drive, there are, you know, places, little holes that you wouldn't expect would be something, but they're selling their lobster rolls, and everybody says that they have the, you know, the best, the most famous, the world's best, whatever it is, you know, or Maine's best lobster rolls. And so you're going to see it is
lobster mac and cheese, lobster Benedict, carbonara, lobster pie.
I know.
I'm reading your article. I mean, looking at this, right? Everyone go check it out. Go on blendradioandtv.com and check out Coastal Maine, Portland. I mean, just type it in the search box. This is like, so like you could probably have lobster in everything, right?
Yeah. It's a lot, as I put in there, it's a lobster palooza is what I say. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what I mean? It's just, you know, it everywhere you go, you know, and, but, you know, if
that's
you don't
it. That's the identity. That's their identity.
Exactly. But if you don't eat lobster, you know, or seafood, you will still be fine. You know, Portland has a wonderful food scene, and it's not all seafood. And mm-hmm. so you can find, you know, if you are, you know, a carnivore and you want your meat, you can find your meat. You know, if you are a vegetarian or whatever it is, you
know,
more.
You
know,
sounds great.
I heard vegan, that you, whatever, found a brewery. Let's talk about real food.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
Because I mean, I've heard that you could live on a Guinness for 31 days.
What?
You were starving and you drank a Guinness,
I want to
you'll
see
be
you
fine.
Do that.
Well, Debbie went to Ireland and she went.
Yep.
She went to the Guinness place. She
I
did
poured
all
my
that.
Guinness. Yep,
and
I
she kissed
Guinness.
The Blarney. Would you kiss
did you
the Blarney Stone now?
For 31 days.
I kissed the Blarney. I did. Yep, they lowered me back down.
That's
and
right.
I kissed the Blarney.
I remember that. But, I'm like, man, she went down.
I know.
Look at
this
her.
Is like, she's a fire monkey. She can swoop in, swoop out, swing in. She can do whatever she wants. She is the fire monkey. Don't mess with the fire monkey. But I mean, you went to like a brew pub. See, this is like and you had blueberry beer.
Like, and pumpkinhead beer. Yeah, blueberry and pumpkinhead. And, you know, this it's called the Maine Foodie Tours. That's the company.
Oh, that's right. You went on a foodie tour. That's so cool.
Right. And they do food. It's a, you know, walking food / history,
I like that.
Geography, whatever, and, you know, from a local who's got great inside knowledge. And so you're walking and listening.
I love
and then
that
you're, And then you're sampling and you're going into some of these places like the brew pubs and some of these, you know, specialty kind of craft stores for food and, you know, chocolate shops. And so, yeah, so and they have Portland has a phenomenal craft beer scene. Was it once again exactly like its neighbor across the
country? I was going to say Portland,
Oregon. Right.
But this, I want to say about the foodie tours, I think, you know, Nancy and I did the one in Santa Fe, you know,
mm-hmm.
and
yes.
it was a walking food tour. So you're walking
it
off.
Awesome.
And what was funny, we were paired with another mother daughter, and the mother ended up on a rickshaw guy taking her around, but it was like, it was a pedicab, whatever.
Yeah.
And she's like, I didn't know I'd be walking. And he's like, well, it's a walking food tour.
It's a food
and she's
tour.
Like, and a walking, and she's like, well, screw you. But they were so funny. And this one guy
with handled it really
two
well.
Mothers and daughters, kind of similar ages. And he just said, this is the most hysterical food tour I've ever done in my life of doing this. And he's just like, I've never had this, but this is funny.
That's
and
funny.
I'm like, I know it's funny. I know it is. And I know what's going through your head. It is funny. And it was. Mm-hmm. But the foodie tours, honestly, like what I learned from that and some other tours, like in Ventura, I mean, just, you know, we all do what we do traveling. The foodie tours, really,
they're good.
We were just actually talking about this on a winery mm-hmm. interview. Like, we talk about music and art really showcasing the time, being the honest. You can read a newspaper when people write historical things, they go in the newspaper,
right.
And the newspaper is going to be and the diaries will give you yes. But if you listen to music, look at art, they tell the truth, right?
Right.
And I think it's the same with food and wine. When you go on these historical or foodie tours, you actually get this sense of history because you're mm-hmm. tasting what happened through the years in that community. And they know the history better sometimes, I think.
And,
you know.
And I think it's interesting because you get to sample usually a mix of kind of artisanal, you know, types of food shops. You get to go into pubs and
mm-hmm.
different restaurants, sometimes grocery stores. But,
mm-hmm.
you know,
it's,
in this case, it's, you know, it was classic Maine. It was Maine-inspired. It was up and coming, you know, just or else, you know, unique or particular to the area. I love taking food tours. I think I highly recommend when people go places,
mm-hmm.
if they're looking for things to do, I'm like, you know, do you want to combine a tour that has history information about where you are, that has that you get to taste some of the food of where you are, that you get to interact with other people, hear from a local, where, you know, get recommendations where you could go, you know, all that kind of stuff. I just think it's such a great introduction to a community.
Like, when I read your article, I was like, I want to go to the Holy Donut and I want a maple bacon donut.
Yes.
That's what I want.
I want a donut.
Yeah, but they got maple bacon.
But
I also want to add a little chocolate on there too.
No, but maple bacon is good. Listen. I would like that. But I'm one of those weird people.
But
I want the maple bacon.
But they're made from potatoes. Maine potatoes. See?
Maine potatoes.
Like potato bread.
And they're moist because it's not flour. It's moist.
Yes, you said moist.
I know.
Yes. It was very,
I want a
very
moist
good.
Maple
and
bacon donut.
Did they have a crispy coating though? Was it crispy?
Yeah,
on
I mean,
the
it, you know, yes. And, you know, I mean, it was a good, it was a nice one. And I mean, I love the lemon because that the fresh lemon is like or the coconut. People like the coconut is really popular.
But you
too.
Said the lemon. Ooh, I like that.
I'm a lemon.
Oh, I'm
person,
with you. I'm with you.
And
no,
you know,
I mean, where are you going to?
Where are you going to also taste something called Moxie? You know, it's like, this is a beverage that used to be an old beverage that they used to use for medicinal purposes, I think. It's still in cans, and it's a combination. I thought of like a Dr. Pepper and the cough syrup to me was a cross between those two. And I was not a fan of it because that's not the flavors that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. But it was just really interesting to hear about it. And, you know, the fact that I would never have, and even if I went to visit it and I didn't visit Portland and I didn't do a food tour, I probably wouldn't have come across Moxie because, I maybe wouldn't have gone into that particular pub or place where they had it, you know, and I wouldn't have known anything about it. So very, very, very interesting, and then you go and you talk the chowder and you learn, you know, there's seafood chowder and New England clam chowder and Manhattan chowder, and then, you go from one place to another and you know, you get to taste, and everything is a nice smaller size because you're going to have several of these, and so it's nice. You definitely, you know, don't have to eat lunch if you're going to, you know, do some kind of tour like this. And then we ended with the chocolate, which is of course the way I love to end anything with chocolate. And we went to we tried at Dean's Sweets, we tried Needham's, which is also traditional, also with potato, because potato was a staple in Maine. And so, once again, this one is made with coconuts and potato. And it was very, very good. And you know, I would never have known what's Needham and, you know, that there's something that's very traditional there. And, you know, I would never have known about it.
I want one. I love potato. But potato is so interesting where it can go. You can take it either way, sweet, not. Yes. I mean, I don't know. I think we might have told you that we had a Thanksgiving in South Africa when we were on Nancy's tour with her art, and they made a sweet potato pie, and it was made out of it, like, and it was a whole different, it was not what we do here, but
not
it was
at all.
Amazing. And I think that's something interesting about potatoes, and we would never think about Maine. We all think Idaho, right?
Yeah.
And, but it's, you know, and there's certain, Colorado has a huge potato thing going on too, but, and they do it through dry farming. So there's obviously like a thing that's doing good for Maine to have, you know, potato growth going on there. But that's, to me, really cool when they're making products and sticking to the heritage and what they have. Did it seem very like farm to table? Because it seems like such a smaller state that they're very, this is how we live and this is how we're doing it. That's kind of how I've always seemed thought about
I think
Maine.
So. I think, you know, I think it's you know, a lot of places across the country, you know, years ago got onto that scene. But I think a lot of places historically have been, you know, farm to table. I mean, that's how it's been, you know. So it's kind of ironic that we, you know, always say, oh, it's farm to table. It's like, well, it always was farm to table back then, you know.
Exactly.
You know?
So we're just going back.
Kind of, it's just kind of funny because now it's kind of like, ooh, it's farm to table.
Like that's a new thing.
Yeah, we grew up. We lost our ways and grew up, and now we're calling it something, you know. But this is very fascinating to me about the food, and I'm glad you did that. The Moxie thing. I mean, it's like, you know, I grew up on Milo, which was a malt beverage. You know, you get in Mexico. This is so cool. Like, you find this. I just even like that you have $3 Dewey's. That is an actual name of a place to go and have pumpkinhead beer. I mean, that's cool. I mean, you don't hear that kind of thing very much. We've talked about lighthouses, and there are lighthouses there. But let's talk about where let's go back. You had to walk it off, because I know you eat, drink, and be merry.
Pumpkinhead beer.
Yeah, she had that, but she also went to a park, Fort William Park, and so you did actually get your walking it off in there, right?
Absolutely.
You do.
Absolutely.
I know she's healthy compared to us, Nancy. I mean, we're the ones documenting parks and public lands, but Debbie actually really walks it off.
I love it because it makes me. I feel like I can eat and then walk. You know.
And eating and walking
is great. You know, but in Portland, there's great spaces and parks and green spaces, and you know, if you want to go to Portland Head Light, which is the most iconic there, and probably so it's just so photogenic as well. But it's, you know, located along the shores of Fort William Park, and that's 90 acres. And so lots of, you know, hiking and recreation opportunities, incredible views, you know, seascape views. And it also has the Keeper's Quarters, which is now a little museum with some displays, and the lenses of the lighthouse, you know, the lights are there. And so it's a beautiful park and beautiful views, and highly recommended. If you're going to see one lighthouse, that would be, you know, the one to make an effort to see. Although if you do any kind of boat trip, which I encourage and recommend, because the water is so important to the coast of Maine and to the people and to the livelihoods, that when you're out on the water, you will definitely see, the iconic lighthouses, and they will be pointed out, as well as like some Civil War forts and different monuments. So yeah, the boat ride is a great, any boat, you know, they have ferries and, you know, different types of boat rides, not only lobster ones, but all different kinds of, you know, scenic cruises and things. So get out on the water, see the landscape from that perspective, because like I said, it's just such an important part of their culture there.
Oh, yeah. Now let's talk about that. You've got the, I love that you do that, you know, bring the nature, the history, the food, everything in one, because when you go to a place, we're really looking for an experience. And that seems like you had that also. Yeah. About also where you stay is a huge part. I think, you know, there's times when you're just traveling across the country, getting somewhere, you need to rest your head and have a clean room and get on, you know, move on. But there's times where you really just want to have an experience. And when you're in a town, to spend time as a vacation and to really absorb where you're in, you need to be at a good inn. And it seems to me that you had a wonderful place that you stayed in.
Yeah, the Black Point Inn on Prout's Neck, which is, you know, minutes outside of Portland. I think in New England, you know, the inns really are the mainstay there. They take center stage. I think they're so picturesque. They're so quintessential. And inns are nice. You know, there's a sense of intimacy there. Mm-hmm. People, it's like a smaller, more charming environment versus a more impersonal, maybe sterile hotel kind of chain situation. So the inn to me was just amazing. It's a beautiful inn that's kind of perched up a little bit. It's surrounded, and it's got three sides of water. There are beautiful trails to meander. It was and is a historic grand dame, as I put it, built in 1878. It has a lot of character and a fabulous restaurant, the Chart Room, and a wonderful lobby. And I love those places where you know, in inns where they do, you know, you get the the tea and cookies or wine or whatever, mm-hmm. cheese, whatever it is late in the afternoon. I just love those kinds of things, you know. So, yeah, that was a terrific experience, beautiful, beautiful place. And for me, the cliff walk that you can do there is just extraordinary. It's right on the cliffs on the shoreline and cool. Sandy beaches, and, you know, the artist Winslow Homer had a place there. He sought, obviously got inspiration from the landscape, very, mm-hmm. very obvious there. And, you know, it's one of those places where you truly can kind of soak up the flavor of the area and the place.
That's awesome.
You know, you were in Acadia Beach, Acadia National Park, but I was thinking of Acadia Beach, Acadia National Park. Winslow Homer was such a huge influence of creating our national park system by his paintings. I mean, and traveled yeah. across the country by rail with paintings, giant paintings, to share to people. We need to save these parks. I wonder, did you see that in Acadia National Park? Anything about him? I mean, I'm going to have to. I want to go just because.
I think. You know, throughout Maine, on the coastal Maine, if you go, you will see the influences, you know, that, uh-huh. that certain painters definitely had in their work. And you can say, oh, you know, they were in Maine or, you know, that kind of thing. And it's, you know, it's pretty obvious to me, you know, where he got his inspiration. I think it was a summer home, a family summer home that mm-hmm. that he went to every year, you know. But, yeah, I think, you know, so many, we are so thankful for these people, artists, poets, naturalists who, you know, really had the wherewithal to think about saving and protecting and conserving and preserving the landscape and nature, yeah. you know. We are so fortunate.
Yeah, because they did it, and you're in these areas that they really stood up. You know, I think the arts have always stood up, but it's like when you go to the areas that they talked about, you're like, holy cow, like, wow.
Yeah.
And Maine is definitely, I mean, all Nancy and I are, you know, Nancy and I are just drooling with jealousy, right? I say drooling because we're just like jealous and like we want to go, but like,
right.
We're really green with jealousy. Like we really want to go. When we may, we're working on it. We'll get there. But this
you always will get there. You know you will get there.
I know. But it's just so interesting about you being so like U.S. landlocked these last, you know, year and a half, whatever it's been with the COVID thing. I mean, have you discovered a world in our country?
I've always known that there's a world in our country because I was privy to it for years. And as a child growing up, I've always known that there's a world in our country. And even though I love going international and I love, you know, visiting countries and cultures and languages and all those kinds of things, I think that there's so much wonderful, you know, destinations in our own country. And being kind of, you know, more or less restricted in terms of that, I've made more of a conscious effort to explore areas that I've wanted to go back to or areas that, you know, maybe they're off the beaten path and, you know, I've heard that they're amazing. And it's like, I don't know, it's really given me a very dedicated interest, but I've always known that there's a world in our country. I mean, you just need to go different places outside your house to realize that, you know, you go to the south part of our country and, you know, there's a lot of different traditions and lingo and, you know, vocabulary and food. And then you go to the Northeast or you go to the Southwest or you go to the West Coast or wherever it is that you go, Midwest. And not only is the landscape different because we have such wonderful different variety of landscape and range, but we have a range of, you know, food. We have a range of, you know, cultures within our own country, you know, and a range also of dialects too, you know.
Exactly.
So It's fascinating.
Well, here's one thing too, talking about traveling the world and traveling the country. Anthony Bourdain always said, don't eat the hotel food, right? And he's quite right about a lot of places. I'm going to say he's right. But at least you can run to your hotel bathroom. There's, you know, you at least
That's true.
But let's go back to Black Point, because it seems like your on-site restaurant, and Nancy and I are finding that Anthony may be wrong about a few things. I wish he was still alive, though. But I do wish he was still alive, but he was wrong
about. No, I mean about wrong about stuff.
A few things. This being the few things. There are inns and hotels that seem to be going, I'm going to not have that reputation, because it used to be the restaurant and the hotel, the restaurant in a hotel or a B&B was like the side thing. But from our experience lately, it seems to be that they're stepping up, and depending, I mean, there's bad ones out there. We know that, but there, it seems that you can go stay at a wonderful inn. You can stay at a resort and have an amazing experience. I think it's changed a little bit, you know?
Absolutely. I think, I mean, I've been to many, you know, boutique hotels and inns, and, you know, oftentimes their restaurants are touted, you know, in the community as being some of the best, you know, and the Chart Room actually has a great reputation, and people come from all over. You don't have to be a, you know, a guest at the inn to be able to eat there. Mm-hmm. The public can come and eat there for a special meal. And so, you know, I think that definitely there is a change in that. I think people value, or they see, oh, you know, boy, there's a wonderful restaurant right here. Let's try that.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, it just, you know, this inn is really one of those places that, because it is outside of Portland, you're not going to, you know, get out of your room and walk down the street to a restaurant. You have to get in your car, and you're going to have to drive into the city proper. So, you know, they probably set out, you know, years ago when they historically built this inn, they probably set
1878.
Out.
1878. Yeah, I mean, this is amazing.
Yeah, and they probably set out to, you know, have a really wonderful restaurant for their guests. And, you know, guests would basically stay there, and maybe they wouldn't even go into Portland, but maybe they would just enjoy the beach. They would enjoy, you know, the walking. They would enjoy, you know, the ambiance of the area. And, you know, to them, it wasn't, you know, as much of going into the city. It was as much as, you know, maybe they're getting away from the city.
Yeah.
You know?
I think you're really right, too, about the historic inns, you know, because think about car travel back then.
Yeah.
What a pain in the butt to get there. And if you get to your destination, do you want to drive more?
You're going to stay there.
There was an effort to drive back then compared to now. I mean, it's still an effort depending who, what, and where. But I mean, you're really right about that, you know. And I think there's something so cool about, oh, we can get food here. We don't have to go and go somewhere. The first night, you really don't want to go and do anything. You just want to eat. And, you know, savor your quarters. And, you know, if you can stroll around the garden and go on a cliff walk like you did, that's what you want. To this day, no matter what, I really, once we get somewhere, I don't really want to go do another thing. I want to get there, get my stuff in the room, and I want to savor where we are, right? What is this inn, hotel, you know, wherever, if it's an Airbnb, I want to savor that. And the neighborhood I'm in. I don't want to drive anymore. You know?
Right. I mean, a lot of people, you've been driving, or you've been, you know, you flew somewhere or whatever it is. And you want, you know, you want to just take time to really just soak up that
where you're
ambiance.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why, you know, and then we're talking about a place that you're going to actually, you know, stay for a while. You're not, you know, it's not some place where you're just looking, I need a bed and a bathroom.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That's a difference. That's a difference.
No.
You want the experience.
But,
yeah.
Right. Exactly. You want, you know, do you really want to feel like this is a Maine, wonderful Maine inn or New England inn, Vermont, whatever it is. It's like a picture book, you know, and it's exactly, you know, you read about those things, you see pictures, you drool over them, and then you're like, oh, I'm staying at one. Isn't this
that's so
wonderful,
awesome.
You know?
That is so awesome. Your dinner at the Chart Room, you talk about Bangs Island mussels. And you've got all of this seafood and everything. So I have to ask this before we go. You had the lobster, right?
Lobster.
This is a big deal.
I actually, my husband had the lobster because we couldn't decide. I wanted to try the haddock, which is also very popular because haddock is their one of their local fish. So I had the baked haddock, and he had the lobster, and we kind of shared, which is what we often do if
course.
We want. You know, if you want, you want to try different things. And so, yeah, that's we definitely had it. But I wanted to try their baked haddock because I kept seeing haddock on the menu, which is also extremely popular there as well. So, and then anything blueberry in Maine is going to be phenomenal, you know. And believe me, it's like they have more blueberry combinations, just like lobster combinations, and, you know, blueberry pie, you know, blueberry soft serve ice cream, you know, there's blueberry beer, you know, everything. So, you know, if you have a chance to have some Maine blueberry, it's incredible.
That's so cool you said it, because I was wondering about like the different fish other than lobster, because it's a different area, different seasons. And so that's good to know. So everyone, when it comes to Portland, go to visitportland.com. If you want to get lucky, go to luckycatch.com. And if you want to go on a foodie tour, which you should, go to mainfoodietours.com. And then if you want to stay in the ultimate destination, go to blackpointinn.com. Debbie's story is up on blendradioandtv.com. It has all the links. You don't have to sit there and write them down and memorize. Just go to blendradioandtv.com, type in Debbie, type in Portland, Maine. You'll find the thing on the search. And very excited about this. I want to go. So thank you, Debbie. And listen,
yes, awesome.
I know you're traveling around, and I want to give everyone a shout. Like, listen, Debbie's now got, well, she's going to be on our show every fourth Tuesday. So Travel Tuesday, you'll hear Debbie and her destinations. We're talking about Portland, Maine. She's been on Camden, Portland, Maine. What's next, Debbie?
I am headed to New York City.
And, oh, boy.
Awesome.
I plan to see a bunch of Broadway. I plan to do a couple museums. Ooh. I plan to do the Van Gogh Immersive. I plan to do a couple of things. And then
you're
going to
do the Van Gogh? Seriously,
yeah, the Van Gogh
I'm so
immersive.
Jealous of everyone. I keep seeing this, and I'm like, dude, no way.
I've heard it's several people I know have already gone to different. It's all, you know, throughout the country, and it's supposedly wonderful. And then we are going to go to right outside of Boston to celebrate the holidays with my youngest son's in-laws who live there. And they do. They are an Italian family, and they do the seven fishes on Christmas Eve, and everybody helps to make the seven fishes dishes. And so I'm very excited about that, and I will take pictures and send them to you.
I want to see this. I know. There you go. Well,
seven
you've got some experience
fishes,
of eating
dishes.
It and seeing it around and tasting it around the world too. But Debbie, you know, always fun chatting with you, and excited about having you on our show every fourth Tuesday for Travel Tuesday, and looking forward to your New York segments. And all I know is I know that you will never have a problem filling up your fourth Tuesday, because you're never stopping traveling, which is awesome. And we're all excited about that, because
just like you ladies.
By the time we talk to you, I think we'll be in we'll travel through
crazy.
Four other states.
So, oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. Well, safe travels to you, and we'll talk soon.
All right, everyone, take care. Debbie Stone again. Go to blendradioandtv.com to keep up with Portland, Maine and her story there, but also keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. We air daily except for Maine holidays, and sometimes we may air at that point too, because we can do what we want. But anyway, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much. Take care, ladies.
You too.
Bye.